Amen. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Thank you for the time. Thank you, Clover First Baptist Church, for being here. And do I put that on or? No, just okay. Just stay right there. Okay. I don't know if Brother Mike Patterson, if you remember the fact that we are from the same home church in Ohio. And I don't know if he ever told you this. I just noticed it. I've been here several times and it just dawned on me how similar this auditorium is to New Line Baptist Church, where I was saved and baptized at over 50 years ago. And, even has the same paneling. Stained glass windows, of course, a little larger auditorium, and not as old as you, but almost, I think it's 200 years old, 1828, I think it was started from Old Lyme, Connecticut, to New Lyme, Ohio. It was part of the Connecticut Western Reserve, and Connecticutites moved out, migrated out to our neck of the woods and started the New Lyme Baptist Church, like I said, 200 years ago. And Brother Mike was just with us last week, of course, and he preached. We have two services, 8:15 and 10:30, and we had a 14-year-old get saved in 8:15 service, and a 61-year-old get saved in the 10:30 service. So we're thankful for that. I hope the message this morning will address in part your dilemma with the no pastor, and of course we miss Pastor Tony, my good friend. You're a pastor for 37 years, understand. I just finished 40 years last Sunday at our church, and I was baptized again 50 years ago. I was thinking about it, and I guess I'm in the nostalgia mode, of course, and it's good to be here, of course. You remind me so much of my home church, and but you have a larger population. I think New Lyme has a population. It's something I Googled for me, and I think it's like 300 people in New Lyme, Ohio, and so Wingdale is bigger than that, I guess. So, but Acts chapter 1 this morning here, we'll start in Acts chapter 1 here, if we could. And we'll get to Acts chapter 2 and pray for your church, where our church is praying for you regularly. You're in a precarious time in your ministry here with no shepherd. And the disciples, the apostles, are ready to lose their shepherd, of course, their chief shepherd. We know him as Lord Jesus Christ in this ascension chapter 1 of Acts. And I'd like to read the entire chapters, but for time's sake, we won't do that, of course. We'll read the spot verses. Notice verse number 1 of Acts chapter 1. And normally I have you stand for the reading of God's word, but we'll get right into the preaching of God's word here. And notice verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Verse number 6, when they therefore were come together, notice that, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, when wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Let's go down to verse number 12 for time's sake. Then they returned, Jesus has ascended up into heaven in verse number 11. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a 7 days' journey. Verse number 13, and when they were come in, they went up into the upper room and abode with Peter and the rest of the apostles. And they go down to verse number 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Very astounding little three words there. That was revolutionary at this time. Wish we had time to talk about that. But they all continued with one accord in prayer. And then we see they prayed for 10 days. We get to chapter 2, notice verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with what? Can you help me out? One accord in one place. And verse number 4, then and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak the word, speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Go to chapter 2, notice verse number 41, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted to them as all men had, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want you to notice the phrases I tried to emphasize. The phrase, they came together, they gathered together, they were in one place in one accord. 11 times you'll find the phrase something to that in mind, or one place, one mind. And the word they, the third person plural pronoun, and there's 275 times, thanks to online Bible, Googled it and found out that you find the word they 275 times in the book of Acts alone. And in the context, the Lord used this first local church to carry this idea of this infant church. We won't go into getting divisive in any way in regards to when the birthday of the church was. Many people believe it was in here in Acts chapter 2 at the Feast of Pentecost, obviously, when the Holy Spirit came. And we see that they were in oneness, they were in agreement, they were sameness, they had unity, they had singularity of purpose. They were, in short, they were a family. And I want to tell you that First Baptist Church, or Dover First Baptist Church, you're a family together. And you've been together, many of you have been together for many, many years, I'm sure. I have no doubt about that, 20, 30, 40 years, maybe 10 years. And I'm talking to a veteran crowd here this morning here. And it's a wonderful blessing to be a part of a gospel-preaching local New Testament Church of God. I want to preach this morning on the subject of they and the as it pertains to Dover First Baptist Church. Let's make a word of prayer if we could. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love to us. Lord, thank you for loving this church. Dear God, you love the people. Lord, you love this church. You died for the church. And I pray for this assembly. Lord, as the apostles 2,000 years ago, they lost their chief shepherd. But Lord, you did not keep them, Lord, comfortless. You gave them the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we have the Holy Spirit of God in our midst this morning. We thank you for that. We pray that you'd be give unction to this poor preacher, dear God, and bless as we look at the Word of God this morning here as we go back 2,000 years as it pertains to 2025 on August 31st in Dover First Baptist Church. Lord, bless, we pray, and we'll thank you for it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful blessing to be part of a gospel preaching local church, of course, and people don't realize what a great blessing it is. I think of all the things that happened to me at reference to New Line Baptist Church. I got saved at a revival meeting as an 11-year-old boy. I didn't go back to church for about 6 years later, and my family weren't Christians, and I went back 6 years later and got baptized at church. I dedicated my life to the Lord as a 17-year-old kid to go off to Bible college and serve the Lord. And I got married in church. My kids got dedicated in church. The best things, the greatest decisions I've made in my life, I made in church. In the enormous building, I understand that. And you understand this building, but that's not the church. You know the church to be the people, of course. But I'm convinced that the average Christian, even many a good church member, we don't appreciate the value, the beauty, the love that's to be found in the New Testament local assembly. Every New Testament church ought to unite with, every New Testament Christian, rather, should unite with a local church. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning here, dear folks. I don't know how many of you are members of this assembly and how many maybe just attend. I'm glad that you attend. We have people that attended our church for 10, 20 years and never officially joined. I'm glad they're part of the family and friends of our church. But there's something about joining the church. There's the local church organization is God's plan A to win the world to Christ, and he has no plan B. He needs no plan B. God has a plan for procreation. It's called marriage, one man with one woman for a lifetime. That's God's plan. God has a plan to win the world to Christ, and it's through the local church, and he needs no plan B. There are several reasons that I believe that Christians don't appreciate the church family as they should, or the local church as they should. First of all, I think there's a lack of instruction. I'm sure we have 30 people here this morning, whatever the number is. I'm sure there's far more Christians, and I don't suppose that this is the only gospel preaching church in the area. I'm sure there's others as well. But All the people that name the name of Christ, I know it's a holiday weekend, but they're not in church. Many are not in church. You chose to be here, of course. And, but there's a lack of instruction on the local church, today. I'm afraid that there's, sin in personal lives. We had a work day yesterday at our church. We had 11 men come out. We have some men, and I'm thankful for that. They come to work day, but they don't come to church day. And, I'll take them for work anytime they want to come, but I'd like to have them in church too. And, it's a sin in personal life keeps them out of the house of God. Maybe selfishness, maybe carnality, maybe materialism keeps people out of the house of God. But there's another reason that Christians do not understand the singularity, the unity, the love, and the oneness that is found in the local church family, as they ought. I believe that many people do not understand the beauty and value of the local church because they've never understood the beauty and value of their own family. We live in a fragmented society, as we all know, of course, and I don't suppose there's anyone here that hasn't had sin fragment your own family, maybe in divorce, maybe in separation from a sibling or loved one, or every family I know is fractured. When I think of the first family, they were fractured. Adam and Eve were fractured right out of the gate with Cain and Abel, and Jacob and Esau, another example, Abraham and Lot. Joseph and his brethren. On and on we could go through biblical families, David's family, Solomon's family, all fractured. And I'm afraid that we apply some of the same things that we do with our family. You only have one mother and father. Most of you in this room, probably your mom and dad's, like my dad is gone, of course, but I only had one dad, and I love him. He's in heaven now. And I still have a mother that's alive, of course, at 88, 89 years old. And she wasn't a perfect mother, but she's my mother. And she was special to me. And you didn't have perfect brothers or siblings or sisters or mom or dad or aunts or uncles, but make the best of what you have. And I would say to Dover First Baptist Church of Wingdale, New York, make the best that you have of this church family that God's given you. God's called you to stay together. The local church is like a family. And make the best of your situation. Serve God. And the apostles, they had division. We go back to Acts chapter 1. Remember the debates between Peter and John and James and Andrew and so forth, and who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Thomas putting his foot in his mouth so many times, and Peter as well. And yet they had. You don't think they had some division from time to time? Sure they did. Paul and Barnabas, they disagreed with one another so greatly that they parted ways. And that's another Bible, that's a message in and of itself. But I want to give you, when we get to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, we see, notice verse 41 again, it says, Peter just got done preaching to thousands of people, and as a result, 3,000 are going to get saved. And it says verse 41, and this is our springboard verse, as I call it, to our text. And then they, who's they? Well, if we go back to chapter 1, it's 120. The Bible listed them. They had to be Baptists at the first church at Jerusalem because they counted the people and they exaggerated the number. It says about 120. And there's about 40 people here today, give or take a few, of course. Then they gladly received this word, were baptized. And, I want to talk about seven things that they gladly did. This church of unity, this church of oneness, this church of the apostles and the women that gathered together. First of all, verse number 41, then they that gladly received this word. What word? The word that back in verse number 36, notice what it says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, Peter said, know it surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. They, first of all, what made this church a church of oneness, a church of unity, a church of coming together, a church of gladly coming together? They gladly confessed that Jesus was the Christ. They gladly confessed that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And back in Matthew chapter 16, a few months before this event here of Acts chapter 2, Peter, the Lord asked the question, who do men say that I am? And some say that he's Elijah risen from the dead, or some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But Jesus said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ, the fact is, he's the very Savior. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. He's our God. He's the God man. And they believe, they gladly believe that there's one that saves. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one. He's the only way. He's all the way to heaven. And if you believe that, back in Acts chapter, or Luke chapter 1 rather, it says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set in forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed amongst us. And so if you don't with all your heart believe that Jesus is the very Christ, that you can't be saved apart from him, you can't be a part of this family. You may be a part of this local church and not saved, and that's a conundrum, of course. And if you believe that Jesus is the Christ and you've received him as Savior, you're coming to the family of God. And so they all gladly confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he was Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, that he's the Savior, the only Savior, all the Savior. And so verse 42 again, 41 of chapter 2, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Notice they first received his word, what word? That Jesus was the Christ. But secondly, they were baptized. Now I'd like to drill down a little bit deeper in the second point here, but they gladly proceeded to publicly identify themselves together with them in believers' baptism. Let me just run a side path here. This is a Baptist church and this is a Christian church, and there's people that are, don't name the name Baptist, that are certainly saved and certainly Christians and certainly love the Lord. We all know that. And we could pick on the Presbyterians or maybe the Bible church people or maybe evangelicals of E-Free groups and many other groups that we could talk about where they know the Lord as their Savior, but not all believe in water baptism. And once we're saved in Christ, we're buried in the likeness of his death, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. But the Bible says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. And that's in deep water, for the record. And they were, same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 1 Corinthians 12, in fact, why don't you turn over there if you would, please. I want you to see this verse. Sadly, a controversial verse, and I don't mean to be divisive at all. Maybe you disagree with me on this point, that's okay. You get to heaven and find out that the Bible was true, and all of it. And it's, I call this a 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 13. I call this a synonymous dualism. When you're in Christ, when you receive Christ as Savior, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit immediately. That's true. That's a Bible doctrine. You're indwelt with the Spirit. And the Bible says in verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's the body of Christ. There's the church of Christ. There's the church of the living God, the bride of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. When you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to seal into your heart, seals you to the day of redemption. And you can never, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's true. But this is also in the context, the 1 Corinthians 12, and it's talking to the church at Corinth. And Paul said, not only did he say you're one Spirit in Christ, that you're baptized in the Spirit, spiritually speaking, but I think he's talking synonymously, at the same time, in a dualistic way, if I can use that phrase, theology, he was talking about this church at Corinth, and I think the text bears it out. There's something that unites you as members of this assembly. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, you've been united and you have a spiritual bond, but you also have a physical bond. Just like we have physical families, and each one has a different, I asked Brother Tom his last name this morning here. I finally got it down, Holmes. And you got the Holmes family, the Holmes clan here, of course. And you got other, I don't know your last names. And so, but you got the Holmes family, and you got the Smith family. And I met Helga and Heidi, and they, I don't know what their last names are, but they got their family and individual family. But you're all part of the family of God here at Dover First Baptist Church. And so then they gladly received this word, were baptized. I would encourage you, I baptized an 87-year-old lady a number of years ago now, and she didn't need to get baptized to get to heaven. You don't need to do that, but to officially join at least our church, you have to be baptized in deep water, of course. And I see that they gladly received this word, And this church became a family and unity and oneness and togetherness, because they all believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They all believed, they publicly confessed to him in deep water by believing in and showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But back to Acts chapter 2, if we could, here in verse number 42, let me show you the third thing that I see in regards to that they gladly did because of their unanimity and their unity and their oneness and their togetherness. It says in verse number 42, and they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine and breaking bread and in fellowship. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or the apostles' teaching. And that's the same thing we do today. And we're a New Testament church. I know you're a New Testament church. That doesn't mean that we don't believe the Old Testament. Of course we believe the Old Testament. And the Old Testament has practical application for every one of us. I'm sure, I know your pastor was a dispensationalist. I'm a dispensationalist. And don't have time to get into, drill down and get into seminary class and talk about the differences between covenant theology and dispensational theology. But I believe that God's a covenant God. I believe that he makes promises, of course, but I also believe he works differently in different dispensations. And we're not under the law, and we're under grace, of course, and we are a New Testament assembly. And so many churches try to mix their doctrine because they do not understand the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're in Ephesians 3:2, this doctrine of dispensation of grace. We're not Israel. We pray for Israel. We love Israel. We support Israel, but we're not Israel. We're the church. We don't join Israel. Israel joins us. And whether Jew or Gentile, we're one in Christ, of course. And so, Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. And so, doctrine, some people say doctrine divides. No, doctrine unites. But we the same Lord, same faith, same baptism, same, Holy Spirit of God, same Trinity. Same deity of Christ, and on we could go. What makes us one? Well, our doctrine makes us one. And we'll never, just let me help you out. Don't you say, we're Baptists, and many Baptists, we divide over the silliest of things, the smallest of things. You can't agree with everything I say. I don't even agree with myself half the time. And opinions are like armpits. Everybody has two of them at least, you know. They both probably don't smell too good if you don't put to the order or not. And the main things, keep the main thing the main thing. We agree on the major doctrines of the Word of God, of course. And let the other things go by the wayside. You don't divide from your sister or your brother or your mom or dad because they do something, they squeeze the toothpaste from the bottom of the tube and not from the middle like I do, of course. So they gladly confessed that Jesus was the Christ. They gladly proceeded to publicly follow him in believer's baptism in deep water. They gladly continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Fourthly, verse number 42, they had fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They gladly and regularly remembered the Lord through the Lord's Supper. I don't know how often you take the Lord's Supper, and it's really none of my business. It's a local church issue. I know Baptist churches that take the Lord's Supper every single Sunday. We take it three or four times a year. We're supposed to take it on the first quarter Sunday night. It's supposed to be next Sunday night. We're supposed to take communion four times a year is what we do. And as often as you remember, just doing remembrance of me, the Lord's ordinance is not a sacrament. But it's a remembrance. It's a observance. This doing remembrance of me. The church of the New Testament was united by truth, by the tie, by the ordinances, baptism and Lord's Supper, by the table, again, the Lord's Supper, and by the throne, of course. Jesus is King. He's Lord of all, of course. And so, they were united by the fact that Christ was the Savior. They were united by believers' baptism. They were united by continuing in the apostles' doctrine, and they were united by fellowship and in prayers. Verse 43 it is, so verse 44. Look at verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common. verse 45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted to them to all men as every man had need. I've been to Amish country. I grew up in Amish country in Northeast Ohio, and Amish are nice folks, usually very kind and so forth, and they pacifists and so forth, and Mennonite people, and I'm sure you know, you've met those folks as well, and they have a lot of love, of course, and so forth, by and large, but they believe in, depending on which sect they're part of, they believe in more communal living, of course, and almost to the point of communism, forced selection, but Bible doesn't teach communism, it teaches community. It's not forced giving, but free will giving, of course, and offerings out of love, not out of coercion, because of compassion, of course. And so I know this church is a giving church, obviously, and Brother Mike told me the love offering you gave him, of course, last week, and I don't know how you do it, and you're a loving church, and God rewards you for that. But they gave out of a cheerful heart, for the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. And so then, look at verse 46. And they, notice the word again, continuing daily, like this on Sunday, with what? With one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house to eat their meat with gladness. And here it is again. And singleness of heart. They all gladly continued to fellowship together and grow in the Lord together. And let me come back, circle back, full circle to back to the challenge of Dover First Baptist Church. You're without a shepherd now. And I echo, I didn't know Brother Thomas was going to say the words he said, but you need a pastor. You need a pastor sooner than later. And I don't know if that's weeks from now or months from now, or I don't want to go farther than that, of course, but you need a pastor and you need to pray about it, of course. And Lord direct you. I understand you had a young man in fact, Brother Tom made a reference about that too. It'd be nice to have some kids around here, of course. And kids are the future of the church, as we all know, of course. But they had fellowship, and they didn't forsake the assembling themselves together. That's, if I could pick on the newer generation, the younger generation, younger than most of us in this room, they don't understand they have their cell phones, they have social media, and they don't understand the fact that Bible tells us to gather together, come to the house of God. David said, Psalmist said, it was good for me when I came into the house of God, of course. And Psalm 122, verse 1, I just drew a mental blank. What's that say? It's on our building, front of our building, and I can't even think what it says. Psalm 122, verse 1. Somebody find that for me. I just drew a mental blank here. It's so simple, it's ridiculous. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. I believe that's what it says. And I got to look at my front sign again. But we need to have fellowship one with another. We're together as a fellowship. We're together as a family. And we all have different gifts and all different walks of life, of course. And I'm sure none of us, we have gifts differing, Romans chapter 12. But we come together, and it's not uniformity, but it's unanimity. It's not forced coercion. It's, again, collective love and community together that builds the church. Number 7, it says in verse number 41 as we review, then they gladly received his word. What word? That Jesus was the Christ. They gladly confessed that Jesus was the Christ. They gladly publicly identified themselves together in believers' baptism. They gladly continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They gladly and regularly remembered the Lord through the Lord's Supper and through the tithe and the table and the throne. And they gladly chose to love and to care one for another, not out of coercion, but out of community and out of love. And they gladly continued to fellowship together and grow in the Lord together. They didn't forsake the assembling of themselves together as the manner of some is. But lastly, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They gladly worked together toward the addition of souls to the assembly. I mentioned on purpose, of course, praise the Lord. I make the joke, but it's a lot of truth in it. 40 years of pastoring, nobody ever gets saved when I preach. Of course, I had to bring in evangelists and missionaries for people to get saved. We had two get saved last Sunday morning, of course, and it was so great to see a 14-year-old with tears in her eyes come forward in the altar call and receive Christ as Savior. And then I got the privilege myself to lead a 61-year-old man to the Lord after the service. And it's so wonderful. And the Lord grew the church. In chapter 4, verse number 4, it simply says, howbeit many of them that believed or heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. And in chapter 5, verse 14, multitudes received Christ as Savior. Dover First Baptist Church needs what of Wingdale needs what Harvest Baptist Church of New Hartford needs. We need to be growing in souls and numbers and see people receive Christ as Savior. You need to get behind the Great Commission, get behind your church, and get behind your and the prayer for your future pastor and serve him together. And teamwork makes the dream work. Your church is 257 years old. Am I correct in that? 257 years. You think it's got another year left in it? Another 2 years. Another Lord tarries and is coming for 10 years, 20 years. I think the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church because it's Christ's church. And we get to be a part of it. And he builds his church. We get to just go along for the ride and be found faithful and unity. Nothing can stop a church that stays together. And all God's people said, amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for this assembly, dear God. Lord, there's a common bond that bonds me with them, and that's Christ. That's the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we're in the family of how great it is to be in the family of God, Lord. But it's great to be a part of a local New Testament assembly, too. And you've called us to do that. And Lord, I pray for this church now, dear God. I don't know the heart of any person in this room. I hardly know my heart. But Lord, I pray that maybe I've spoken to, the word of God has spoken to a heart or two this morning, dear God, about plugging in and staying faithful to the house of God. And pray that you bless the Pacinos, of course, and Lord, bless their and their new step of life. Lord, I pray that you bless this church in a great way. It's your church. You died for it. And you love every person in this room. And Lord, I want to believe that every person in this room, to one degree or another, loves you. But we don't love you like we ought. And may help us love you more, we pray. We sing the song, more love to thee, O Christ. More love to thee. Have your will and way in the moments of as we close this service, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how you normally do, I guess Brother Tom's coming, and I should have asked how you do your invitations. You do an invitation, but Brother Tom, I'll let you run the show here.